Hello and welcome to the Wit and Delight podcast. I'm your host, Kate Ahrens, founder of Wit and Delight. As a recovering perfectionist, mother of two, and juggler of many businesses, I know how hard it is to find time. Time to reflect on yourself, your choices, and who you're becoming. So if you're new to this podcast, sometimes you'll find myself and a guest discussing where life and style intersect and how the choices we make, both big and small, can help us find empowerment and self-discovery in unexpected places. Okay, now for today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Our conversation today is with Christy Lawrence, the CEO and founder of Plan, an app that Wit and Delight uses to basically manage our entire Instagram world. Instagram is pretty much run entirely by me. I have a team behind me that works on our sponsored content, but I spend almost all of my time in that app talking to people and creating content that I think is sort of at the apex of where we are all kind of sharing similar experiences. And so this app has really made my life a lot easier, and it's made it more possible for me to do more of the good things that have to do with Instagram, which is connection. And Christy's story is incredible. Out of really a traumatic experience and health scare, this app came to be. And being a woman in tech is difficult as it is, but I think this is really a story of perseverance and focus and not giving up. So I really hope that you enjoy our conversation today, and I will talk to you later. Christy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What time is it over there?
It is 7 a.m. on Friday morning.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for being up early with us. It's so nice to talk to you on the phone. I feel like I've met you because I'm such an avid Plan user. I mean, I was just telling you before we jumped on, I've been in Plan literally all day getting November ready, and I can't wait.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, so I can't wait to talk to the woman, the mind behind one of the best tools that has saved me from my Instagram problems. So,
oh, I know. As a tech founder, you never get sick of hearing that. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. Yes, thank you. All right. So why don't we just jump right in? Tell us a little bit about your story and how you ended up making this incredible tool. I'm sure there's lots of twists and turns, as there always are.
Oh, it's a bit of a crazy story. I'm not the most conventional tech founder. So I was working in advertising myself. So I was working making TV commercials for an insurance corporate here in Australia. And I realized very early that my whole purpose for being in this world is to be creative. And my first love is illustrating. So I would be illustrating. And as Instagram started booming, I'd go home at night from work and illustrate and you know, publish my work on Instagram. And pretty soon I started making more money doing that than I did in my corporate advertising job. And my friends were like, Christy, what are you doing? What is happening? This is insane. I was like, well, I think that because in my day job and my career, my professional career, I really understood Instagram very, very early on about how it's a storytelling technique. It's not about putting your work into the world and saying, buy my stuff. It's that real genuine connection from person to person and really understanding the brand and the story. And Instagram was the most visual, beautiful way to do it. And then a couple of months later, this is still happening, but I woke up one day and I felt really odd. And what had happened is I felt really dizzy and I was like throwing up all the time, and the doctor was like, oh, you're pregnant. I'm like, I'm definitely not pregnant. And I got put in an ambulance many, many times. And what had happened is that the flu virus had gone, instead of, you know how you get the flu and you get aches and pains? Mine went, the strain of flu that I got went into my brain.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Like I've never known it was possible. And it went into my brain and destroyed my entire vestibular function, which is your balance, your spatial awareness, and basically your whole nervous system went into complete shutdown. And I was confined to the home for about a year, I'd say a good year. And so to be able to supplement my income, I started pushing more pressure on my Instagram to make some money to make up for not having the salary. But before I knew it, I was consulting other people on growing their Instagram and giving hashtags away and hints and tips on how to beat the algorithm and all of that stuff.
What year was this?
Oh, this would have been about 2015.
Okay, yeah.
So quite a while ago. So it was when like Instagram was just taking off. And I thought to myself, as every founder does, there's got to be a better way. Like, how can I scale myself to reach more people? How can I teach more people that if you have a visual strategy or you really understand what you're posting with intention, then you can do this too? And I found I was repeating myself. I'm like, oh, what if there was this tool that could teach you how to post and when to post and why to post and what to post? And it just didn't exist. And I was like, all right, well, this is a good idea and someone's going to do it. Why can't it be me? And here we are.
Oh, it's so empowering. I mean, especially in the face of something that really puts things, I can't even imagine, puts things into perspective. And also, I would imagine, what was going through your mind kind of when you were at home kind of thinking, okay, like I have a limited, you know, capacity to be out there and supporting myself. What was that like?
It was a very dark time, I'm not going to lie, because the doctors had all told me that of all the patients that they had seen with the symptoms, and I had to have brain scans and things, that there was no cure and that was my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was told I wasn't going to recover. So having to turn to my husband at 28, 30 and say, you're going to have to help me up and down the hallway every day forever. Wasn't that great. I'm very, very active. I love sports. I swim in the ocean every day. So to be told that that had kind of been cut short was devastating. It was a very dark time. And then I turned more to the creativity. So being able to be at home and watch YouTube until my eyes bled, basically, on technology and how to wireframe was actually, playing kind of became the light in my darkness. And being able to help more people gave me purpose. And now, like, it's just continued and I've actually almost fully recovered. So there are days, I mean, hangovers aren't great anymore. But I don't, and if I get sick, then I get really dizzy. But other than that, like I'm almost fully recovered, but I owe it all to building a business. So it's kind of a weird thing to think about. But yeah, Plan then I launched as an app. And within, I think, it took me about 10 months. So what I did is I didn't have the money to build an app. Apps are crazy expensive. Oh, and if you lie on the floor and wireframe up what you need, and then I sent it off to a whole bunch of developers and said, how much would this cost? And it was about $100,000 to build for the first round. And I was like, yeah, okay, don't really have $100,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, casual $100,000.
Just a casual $100,000 lying in the bank. And I didn't have there's no mortgage to draw on or friends to ask for money or inheritance. It's nothing. So after a while, I did start feeling a little bit better and bartered my time for free at a web and app agency. And I did their advertising and their clients' advertising in return to have my app built. And it took 10 months to build, which is longer than it should have been. But, you know, I didn't have the cash, so that's how it happened. But I had 10 months to do a pre-launch marketing campaign and let people know that there was a solution to their problem and it was coming. And in my first week, I made $10,000 and I was like, oh, yes, there is something here. This is great. And with that $10,000, I was able to move away from that, you know, working for free and start with my own team.
Wow. And do you credit that to really having the time to tell your story, understand what the pain points were of your audience and communicate that?
Well, the thing is, like with every business, you're never selling a product. You're always selling a solution. And my marketing background, that's what I strongly believe in. Like I'm not selling an Instagram scheduling tool and I'm not selling a piece of software. I'm selling, oh my gosh, guys, like social media overwhelm is crazy. Let me take care of it for you. Or have you run out of content? I've got you. Like I'm selling that. Yeah.
Yeah, in an easy kind of way. And it's pretty clear that, you know, right away, it's clear that, I mean, that validation of saying, okay, like, I'm sure that you knew in your gut that people needed this, but that you had created something that really had, you know, people had put money down for. I mean, what did that feel like? Or was this sort of like a pinch me moment?
It was really overwhelming, but I kind of, you know, you're right. My gut went, yes, I'm going to help that many people and they understand it. So there's a lot of people. So I didn't have a tech background. I had no idea how to code. I'd never worked in a startup or software before. And it wasn't until after I launched that people were like, oh, how many times did you have to pivot before you, right? How many times did you pivot before you got product market fit? Which is basically saying, how many times did you have to reiterate before people would start paying for your product? And I was like, well, no, I didn't. I actually didn't. You're going to hate me for saying this, tech founders, but I didn't have to pivot because I spent so much time talking to my people and understanding You know, they were having secret accounts that they were posting on first, or they'd post and then delete pictures because they didn't think that would fit in their grid, or they didn't get engagement and they were embarrassed and they'd delete it. And someone said they had, you know, Photoshop snap guides and or MS Paint. I was like, no. Let me just help. No.
Oh yeah. I remember, like, I'm a designer, so I would like go into Illustrator and map it all out. And I'm like, it was just a nightmare. I mean, I remember in 2013, I was like, I am done. I am so done with this. But I think, you know, in so many ways, time is really valuable, you know, especially as you're growing a business and, you know, the ability to kind of not only strategize and plan, but also, you know, communicate. You've kind of hit all of those needs. And it's not just for people who, you know, make a living with social media at the center. I mean, it's truly a need that I look at a lot of tools that I use now and I'm like, oh, I wish this was like planned. I'm sure that, you know, I'm able to visualize and plan. And yeah. So can you talk about the first features that you launched with? Like what at the core of plan, you know, do people sort of like need, and kind of what was the first pain point you really solved?
Yeah, well, it comes to this twofold here. So the first one is that on Instagram, it is a visual platform, right? And if someone visits your Instagram grid, you've got maybe two scrolls to get their attention and your bio has to match your images. And then if they decide to follow you, they're basically saying to you, I am interested in buying from you in future. I'm interested in your offering for now, but maybe I'm not in the market now. So your grid has to reflect their needs. So why wouldn't you want control over that? So the first thing for plan was, okay, you definitely need a drag and drop gallery because you need to be able to understand what that looks like for someone coming to visit you. And with 1 billion people on the platform like you, I'd want to control what my shopfront looked like. So that was that. And the branding, so being able to control the visual story and branding was my first feature. And then the second feature was the overwhelm of having to come up with captions on the spot all the time. So we definitely needed to have somehow to schedule captions and draft them in advance. So if you had a massive brainwave and you're in the supermarket, you needed a place to put it. And so plan was that. And then a lot of people forgot that to post and it got a bit overwhelming. So I was like, right, we definitely need a notification and a timer that says, like, here's how you go. So the very core first iteration of plan was drag and drop, draft your caption and post. And then as the platform kind of started to take off, I then was able to address more problems like hashtags and images, like filtering and all sorts of other things. And now we have a right through to 3 years later, I'm still solving problems like people saying, oh, I need a team. I'm like, right, let me build your desktop version. So
yeah, the desktop version is fantastic. And I think, you know, for us in particular, we have just an overwhelm problem in general. I know that I do. It's, you know, there's always so many options, so many ideas, and the ability to kind of put things in a bank and revisit them later has been so valuable. And so like on the desktop version, the fact that you can have a media library, it's like it solves so many issues.
That feature specifically I wanted for myself. Well, because there's so many people that, so when you're in marketing or if you're, you know, planning your feed out, you kind of, in our jargon language, is content pillars. But if I wanted to have, you know, a community or an education, I wanted somewhere I'm like, right, so if I'm going to talk about my community, then I want these photos and I want a visual Google Drive in my product.
Yep. And then the content pillar planning section is so awesome. I've done a lot of consulting. My background is in brand building. And so I would talk a lot about how Instagram is an extension of your brand. It's the living, breathing embodiment of it, which it sounds like, you know, preaching to the choir here. But it was often to people who are in PR or, you know, a little bit more of the digital marketing side, which is, you know, based on paid and conversions and stuff like that. So, you know, I think this was back in, you know, 2016, I think I was having my first baby, but I did a really big project where it was like defining content pillars. And you have made it so simple where no matter what you do, you can create a content strategy that's in this lovely little grid that's in monochromatic colors and kind of just reminds you, like when you're feeling overwhelmed, that this is the formula for what your community really jives with. And for whenever I feel like, oh, there's so much I could talk about, I go back to remembering that, you know, consistency and showing up every day within this framework really helps people understand what we're about. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes you can get away from that. You can kind of like fly off the handle sometimes and try new stuff. And it's been really cool to see, to use that tool as a way to, you know.
Yeah, I've got some big plans. I've got some big plans for that tool.
Yes. Can you start talking about it? I know before we got on, I was in plan all day, and we're all going to hear about the new features right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, for example, that strategy tool, there's so many, I mean, there have, since plan's been around and since the birth, there have been a few other scheduling tools pop up over the years, but they all just go, here's a scheduling tool, figure it out. Schedule, go. But what I wanted for plan was, let me show you what's working for you, what's not, and then how to keep growing. And that's kind of why I think plan's had the success that it has, because that's what we focus on. And one thing that I want to build into there is, instead of it being the strategic content pillars, is outcome focused. So are you trying to grow an email list? Are you trying to push people to read something? Are you trying to educate them? Or is it, you know, like, what is the outcome of your strategy? So building that layer will come in. And what I'd love to also do is have templates, like strategic templates that you've talked about, that grid, where if you're a florist or a hairdresser, then you can be like, all right, here's my template. This is what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you're taking that consulting and kind of that framework and offering it up for people where they're not starting from scratch, but they've got like a baseline that they can kind of get, that gets them like 50% of the way there or more.
Exactly. So for me, in my brain, it's like, how can I help more people? How can I encourage more people to be successful? And how can I help people get results? And that's what drives me every day.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I spend a lot of my time learning, and it's something that it's I think it keeps me interested in understanding how people are working, but I'm also, you know, always curious about what other people have to sort of teach me. And I found that's actually a wonderful shortcut in growing your business, is that you don't have to be an expert in everything. And most entrepreneurs are generalists, honestly. I mean, I think that we're so curious by so much. And the thing that probably the biggest thing that drives us, it sounds like you're the same, is to create things that help people. And so to help people, you understand them. And so I've now when I have a problem, I used to sit down and sort of be like, I'm going to figure this whole thing out, you know, from, like, linearly, right? So this is my problem. These are the options. Now I look to the internet and I'm on a bunch of online learning communities where I say, okay, who's doing this well? And it takes the overwhelm out of it to be able to say, like, I'm a florist. This is the formula that we have. Let's plug my content in and see how then it's going to perform. And so can you talk a little bit about the analytics and the results part of the app too? Because that's another great way of not just looking at like the data. There's a visual component to the way that your reporting looks.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the key things for me was, because Instagram's so visual, how could I highlight that just as an extra layer? So we created a way to show your best performing color palettes and hues. So the basis of that was, I kept seeing people post pictures of cocktails late at night. And they never perform. They're very dark, they're very orange, and they just really didn't match in a feed. So I kind of was like, how can I teach more people that images like this just won't work for you or your brand? So that color palette will show you your best performing colors of what you've posted based on engagement, based on comments, but you'll probably guarantee that no one's palette shows up as being black and orange. So it's just that gentle nudge of, okay, guys, we've got you. Here's how we can push you towards making better content. So that was one aspect of it. And then obviously we want to talk about what's engaging the most. We do try and steer away from, you know, which post got you the most followers, because although that's a nice vanity metric, it's not getting you business results. So we try and push people away from vanity metrics to real metrics that'll move the bottom line for a business.
Yeah. So what do you see as sort of the biggest reoccurring mistake that people who are looking to drive and grow their business, or even just grow a community on Instagram, what are sort of the continual mistakes that you see people making?
So at the end of the day, marketing, or Instagram, is a marketing channel, right? So the top three mistakes I see is that a lot of people don't have a handle on their numbers. So if they have posted something, they won't check and see if it actually worked or not. And they won't be able to tell you what worked or what not, or if they're testing something new. So they just keep doing the same thing over and over and not really learning. And then that's generally the group of people that would say to me, Instagram doesn't work. So usually uncovering and discovering some analytics for them that do work will kind of give them that, oh, okay, I get it now. So there's that. Some of the mistakes is not investing in imagery. So if you have you know, a billion people on Instagram, and there's a lot of competition now, that if you don't have great imagery or things that tell a story, then you might lose some people. And that includes being inconsistent with your feed. So if you've run out of content and you just post a random picture of your breakfast and it's very inconsistent, then people can just start dropping off there. And so what have we got? We've got not checking analytics, not investing in imagery. And then I'd say number three is generally not asking for what they want. So this is not having a call to action. So if you're on Instagram, your purpose on Instagram is probably to either sell a product or promote something. But if you're not asking for the sale or asking your community to do something, then they generally don't. And some people feel a bit icky about selling, but that's why we're all on Instagram. So maybe adding a click in my bio to make an appointment or sign up for a free 30-minute consult call, whatever that looks like for you and your business, asking for that call to action as often as you can is something I see not done all the time.
Yeah. And what do you think, why do you think people are afraid to do that? Has anyone ever talked to you about that? Is it because it's supposed to be a social medium, or is it just that most people sort of see marketing as sort of what I found is like, oh, I, you know, it sort of makes sense, but it's a little bit harder than it appears.
Yeah. It's a little bit of human psychology as well. There's a whole big piece that falls into being afraid to ask for the sale. And it can be anywhere from being afraid of being successful right through to I think I've done it too much or people are sick of hearing from me. So a lot of it comes down to personal kind of blockage or finance blockage. So I like to think of them as just blocks. And if someone like me can come in and clear that block for you and say, it's okay, we're all trying to do it, go for it. And you'll watch, as soon as you start asking people to do things, you'll see it work. And then you'll be like, oh, why didn't I do this before? I should have.
I think, you know, there are a lot of artists or even people like me, you know, who I'm an original gangster influencer. So it's like sort of the term was applied to me versus, you know, kind of starting with a strategy. And I know that there's been a lot of time where I've been like, oh, I don't want to, you know, if I ask for this new part of my business, that's going to be sort of like icky or I'm a sellout. And you know what, I've spent a lot of time this year really looking at the fact that clear communication is actually a way to serve people, and so that they actually know what I'm offering. And that to me was like, oh, I need to explore possibly reasons why I felt that no way having people know what I'm doing is a bad thing. And I think that you're so right with the personal blocks thing, is that if you're drawn to creating a community on this site and you want people to engage with what you're putting out there and what you have made has value, it's a vehicle for communicating. And that's really all that's it.
Absolutely. And it does fall into a full marketing strategy. So Instagram obviously is amazing and has the most organic views right now, and it's still free to play, unlike most of the other platforms. And it's part of your entire top of funnel into your business, but really crucial right now.
Yeah. Have you been seeing businesses put Instagram sort of front and center with the way that they are creating their brands now?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually, it's been interesting. I've been talking to people. We're on the receiving end of a lot of these pitches. And as an influencer, oftentimes it's like, oh, just do this. And I'm like, but this product is so interesting and this brand is so cool. And I feel like you're kind of helping us fight the good fight, where we're trying to get out front more with brands and sort of say, how can we help you with this great story that you're telling, versus, you know, kind of being at the end of the funnel where we're part of the conversion versus the awareness and the understanding of why the product exists.
But I think the other thing with Instagram is that you're selling a lifestyle. So say, for example, you rock up and you're a jewelry brand, you're brand new. You have to kind of choose, am I boho? Am I high class? Am I like what? Who are the people that are going to relate most to my jewelry? And then what content and story can I create around that? So there's that whole lifestyle piece that's sneaking into.
Yeah. And how do you show up organically? Like how does the end product look, you know, in the life of your customer?
It's great, because the people that I like to follow that are lifestyle bloggers or any of that type of thing, they have these inspiring lifestyles that I wish I could be. So it's like, okay, how can you inspire your audience to want to be part of that lifestyle?
Yeah. That's so interesting. Well, you know, I want to circle back to your origin story, because I actually have a close friend of mine who wrote for Wit and Delight and will be writing again for Wit and Delight. I know she will, who went through kind of a similar situation with her health journey as you. And I know from firsthand, I was with her the week before she was hospitalized, and she's been going through this incredible recovery and, you know, kind of looking for ways to get to know herself again, but she also has to start from scratch. I mean, it's like, it's baseline stuff. What advice do you have for someone like my friend who, you know, is in the middle of this really challenging life experience?
I think for me personally, I had to practice a lot of self-compassion. And I had to deal with, and I did actually went to cognitive behavioral therapy to help with this, to speed it up, so that I could learn to quiet my inner critic of perfection and ambition, which is obvious that I have, and just spend some time with myself being compassionate and being my own best friend and looking after myself as I would if I was a child and that kind of thing. So CBT therapy was actually quite a good thing for me. Spending time away from my computer or something else they told me to do, and just focus on what made me happy in the moment instead of big picture goals. So every time I focus on, I want to do this in like 2 years, it would just make me super depressed. So it would be different goal setting. And it might be that I got 3 paintings done in a day, or just something just in the small time, or have a bath and just look after myself.
Yeah. I think with the resurgence, or not the resurgence, but self-care is such a massive thing now. And I think we've been talking about mental health care since 2013, and it's been so interesting to see it become such a topic that so many people are talking about. But I think what's interesting that I'm seeing is self-care almost becomes sort of this like treat yourself, versus like self-care and self-love is actually a very weighty topic. I recently read this book by Louise Hay, who's sort of like the grandmother of self-love from a standpoint of psychotherapy. And I read this book called Mirror Work. And I felt so ridiculous starting it out, where you like are saying to yourself, I'm going to learn to like you. I like was like, felt so triggered by that. And I'm like, okay, we're going to start here, because it's sort of like a very fundamental thing. And for a lot of people, when they're in a place where like you were, where it's like, okay, this is like the way forward, you know, there's that crossroad where you're like.
So I asked people in my close circle and my husband, please don't treat me like I'm sick, and don't ask how I am, because it's going to draw attention to it. So treat me like I'm normal. And I please beg you, don't ask me if I'm okay. Don't give me special treatment unless I ask. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I kind of just was able to change my mindset. And I mean, a lot of people with chronic illnesses cannot do that, and I appreciate that. So my story is obviously different person to person. And then, you know how you just mentioned that self-care becomes, you know, treat yourself. I had to make sure that self-care became just part of my life, because sometimes you get that guilt associated to, oh, I'm going to treat myself, and then sometimes there's guilt associated. So I had to remove that guilt and be like, no, this is just part of my life. This is just how I live now. And so it was a lifestyle change rather than a one-off. So I book in massages regularly, or I go see an osteopath to treat my Instagram wrist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instagram wrist. Oh my gosh. Real things. Well, I love that idea of making it a routine. Every day I write down what my version of self-care is. And sometimes, literally like today, it was sitting down to get my Instagram content together, because it was looming over me. I was putting it off. It's not my favorite thing to do, because as I've said before, there's just so much sometimes. And sometimes the novelty wears off when it's part of your job. And I think that's the reality for everyone, you know, especially entrepreneurs. There's going to come to a point where it is just part of your job. And for me, my self-care is like, okay, what can I do today to help my overwhelm go away and to lessen it? And it truly was like spending those 3 hours just getting everything in my head out and scheduled. And the beauty of being able to say, like, here it all is. Everything you wanted to say has now been aligned with a time, with a color palette, with the best imagery. I have a terrible ADD, and it's just like, it's such a gift to be able to like say doing my job can be a form of self-care, and, you know, finding a tool that also makes it like enjoyable.
And I have to admit, as soon as you finish, you're like, yes, yes, I've done it. It's a very, very good feeling.
Yeah. And I always like to remember to like give yourself a moment to say like you did it. Because sometimes little things like that, especially with growing a business, I know there's probably going to be a lot of people listening who are definitely considering starting a business, are wavering about doing it or not, have been feeling overwhelmed. I know a lot of people feel really overwhelmed with the algorithm and have kind of that feeling like, well, there's this block. The algorithm's there. It's set up against me versus looking at ways to make it work for you. And I think that when you change your mindset and say that you just have to reframe the way you're thinking about it and pull a couple of different levers, it becomes a lot more about, okay, what's working for me and being curious versus this is never going to work and I have to rethink the entire strategy. And that's what's so great about plan. So a question for algorithm, and do you have any idea what's coming in 2020? Do you ever get insights on what's new for Instagram?
I don't get anything. So although we work really closely with Instagram and Facebook, I find out usually when everyone else does, or if there's a developer change, they might email us 2 hours before, which is in the middle of the night in Australia, which doesn't give you much time. But I do follow the head of Instagram on Instagram, and he does a Q&A every Friday, and he is always giving out really helpful things. So I did ask him this week, can you explain why the stories dropped in the last couple of weeks? I don't know if you noticed, but views of stories dropped quite a bit in the last few weeks.
Mine's been a roller coaster. It's been like huge or nothing, or like low.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of us in my whole team every Friday, we pepper him with questions, hoping that one of us gets answered. Poor guy. And so two things he said this week was, one of them was there was a lot of people paying bot companies to just watch stories. So just open your account, hit a story and just play it all day. So it would just look like you were being watched when you really weren't. So they removed the bots. And then they also removed people being able to find what people were doing. So there were people watching you as a bot, but then there were people discovering you. So you'd find that people that you'd never heard of or followed you before would start watching your story. So they did something with that. And then the other, when we said, you know, how do you be treated favorably in the stories algorithm? And one was consistency. So the algorithm rewards consistency, which is no surprise. And then the second one was, if your story gets shared with other people, then that gets higher impressions and reach. So I was like, okay, how can we make things that are shareable? So in this day and age, it's probably more memes, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So what is one thing that you love the most about the platform? And then one trend that you're ready to say goodbye to in 2020?
Two things in there. One thing that I love, this is a bit controversial, but in Australia, all the likes have been turned off. So we can't see how many likes an image has had. But I think in America, it's not happened there yet. But I have to admit, I have loved my new newsfeed. So what used to happen is that I would scroll through my feed and I'd be like, oh, that image has 50,000 likes. Herd mentality, I should like it too, right? And then I just get served more of the herd mentality content. But now I like things that I like with no pressure, and I love to roller skate. So now I get way more roller skating stuff.
That's so great. I have a lot of llamas because my daughter loves llamas, and I had to like seek them out. That's I think the thing, and maybe this is, will give you some time to think about the thing that you wish would change about it. But I think that the thing that I've had to actively do for myself as a visual creative person is I had to go and find things that were new, because I would always use it as a way to find new, different, funky, weird things that were happening, because most often we were, you know, collecting and looking at art and seeing how it would maybe translate into decor. And so being close to the fringes of what a lot of artists were doing was really important to me, but I wouldn't get served that because I'd be interacting with my community. So it would be a lot of the same sort of stuff. And so that's something that I felt for a while I got exhausted, and I almost felt like I was seeing the same stuff so much that my content wasn't new and interesting, where in reality it was just, I was just tired, and that's not what my audience was seeing. So that's something that the thing that you can do to combat that is to, you know, look at the explore page, see if people that you like, see who they're following, you know, kind of like you have to kind of actively seek that out, and maybe it'll change when they, if they get rid of the likes here. I'm hoping that brings a little bit of that back.
Yeah. And then the thing that I'd like to see change on the platform is there are more businesses. I think last time I checked personally was 25 million businesses. And I think that they have limited their obviously due to restraints on their side and resourcing and things, is that the e-commerce options, I feel like they're either, like, I'm hoping that in 2020 we start to see that just explode, and it's not limited to, you know, the top 10 sellers on Instagram, and then we get to have actual anyone. It's not to 10,000 followers. It's anyone can have a shopfront, and I'm hoping that we get to, I really hope that we get to see that this year, right?
Oh, that'd be so great. Imagine what that could do for small businesses. I mean, just so awesome and so great for, I think, just, we're really working on buying from smaller, you know, smaller people who live down the street. You know, I just, Instagram is such an important thing for your smaller communities. And, you know, remember, this is going to be coming out, you know, sometime in January. Just keep shopping and liking and following all those small businesses after the holidays, because, you know, Instagram is, you know, for everyone who's listening, who's a consumer of content, we're making it for you guys, you know, and hoping that it's the most interesting thing that you can see out there. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about when this new plan platform is coming out, if it's already out? But
oh, so while we're chatting, I was just explaining that plan. So I designed the platform myself, and I didn't have a UI UX background. So what you see is me thinking and hoping that I'm getting it right. And I've got some of it right and a lot of it not right. So what I was finally able to do was hire one of my most amazing designers, and we have redesigned the platform. So I'm hoping that you guys are seeing the brand new, it's very minimal and clean, and I'm very proud of it. And then we have been working really hard right now on bringing out Facebook scheduling, so you can come to one place and just do it all together. So I'm hoping by the time this comes to air that you are able to schedule all of your New Year content and get your first 3 months up and running with Facebook too.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited that you are able to shed some light behind Plan. And it's so great to see women in tech going out there and making things.
It's a crazy ride.
Yes, but I mean, it's like you really feel it in everything that you do, and from your classes to the free content that you get when you sign up, it's all super high quality, and it's been a life changer for me, truly. And I hope that you guys can.
And a life changer for me too. Thank you, everybody. It's been kind of crazy to go from being a professional marketer through to picking up illustrating, getting sick, and then now the CEO and business founder of a tech company. So a lot of people think I spend my time on Instagram, but I spend my time with 30 team members across 10 countries now. So it's been a complete change of life for me, and I'm very grateful for all of you and everyone that supported me.
Well, you are an inspiration, and thank you for making me feel like anything's possible.
Oh, honestly, if I can do it, then anyone can do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. It's getting started. I know that you've got a super full schedule, but can you tell everyone where to find you, you personally, and then Plan?
So my personal Instagram, come and say hi. I love a good dad joke and a good chat. It is Christy Lady Lawrence. So at Christy Lady Lawrence on Instagram. And then to find Plan is Plan That with two N's, PlanNnThat.com. And we also publish three blogs every single week that help you learn more about Instagram. So you can, we do all the learning for you and we teach you so you can stay up to date.
Yes. And guys, it is the creme de la creme. So just go straight there. There's no sense in Googling. It's really, really good. All right, Christy, you enjoy the rest of your day and let's have a great 2020.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.